9256.
Dead in West Virginia in the mine and counting, four still unaccounted for. Hoping for a real miracle there. This toxic blast and now scores and scores of safety citations. The question is, could some of this have been prevented? Could the entire thing have been prevented? We'll talk about it. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. In the meantime, what's going on with Hamid Karzai? The White House is sloughing it off, at least the White House spokesperson is. However, Karzai, according to somebody who was part of a UN envoy forever, the number two guy in Afghanistan, Peter Galbraith, Karzai is smoking his own product and is off his rocker. So, a May meeting with the president might be canceled, but where does this leave our troops and the mission in that country? I think this is scary stuff, and I think the White House is hoping that's not part of these news cycles for too much longer, and frankly, a lot of people aren't diving into it. I'm surprised by that, because without a leader in place, how do you move forward with the plans of McChrystal and Petraeus and our government, all the money, all the lives on the line? Something has to be done, and something has to be done fast if Karzai is off the reservation, so to speak. And it's certainly looking that way, no doubt about it. Over the weekend, it could be a huge bonanza if he makes the cut. I'm talking about Tiger Woods. CBS, they can say what they want, but they are licking their chops, knowing that the controversy that happened back on Thanksgiving weekend is only going to be good for their ratings. He's saying that he hopes he can prove to be a worthy investment since so many of his endorsements dropped by the wayside. But don't shed any tears for Woods. Trust me, he's got plenty of dough, Ray, me, and he's only going to get more. You know what? You think of the uber famous athletes like Mike Tyson. Remember Mike Tyson, he goes to prison for raping Desiree Washington, comes out of prison, immediately has a $100 million deal to fight at the MGM Grand exclusively. Now, Iron Mike never was the same fighter he was back in the day, and he was amazing to watch. And to me, he had really lost the good stuff. But the fact is, he was very, very famous and got a big deal. Even now, he just did a cameo last year in that movie, The Hangover, and he pops up here and there. He had his 15-plus minutes of fame. Now, Tiger Woods is even a cut above Mike Tyson when it comes to fame, so you can bet he'll bounce back. But the real question is, how many of those women of the 15 mistresses, alleged 15 mistresses, how many of them are going to make more money than they thought possible just by having a relationship with Tiger, who transcends the sport of golf? In the meantime, something else we're going to mention here right from the get-go. The court says no internet control for the FCC. It's a big blow to regulation, rules, etc. What does it all mean? It means more money for Comcast. Yikes. First, though, the mine. 25 dead. We talked about that. The methane gas believed to be the cause. The search for the missing miners had to be delayed. And, of course, it was because of that gas situation. The governor said it would take at least way into the evening hours on Wednesday to drill boreholes into the mine to ventilate the gases and make the underground environment actually safe for rescuers to start back on the search. That's the problem. They're also holding a public hearing as part of investigation into what caused that explosion in the Massey Energy Upper Big Branch Mine in Raleigh County. That's specifically where it is. And, you know, the rescuers say, oh, it's so sad to hear this. The rescuers say if you wanted a picture of what it was like in crawling through the mine rail car tracks were twisted like a pretzel. So something went definitely wrong. There's no question. And they're starting to identify some of the victims of the disaster, and they range in all kinds of ages, 40s, 25, 61, 58. And they had to take the rescuers out, like I said, because of the high levels of methane and that drill boreholing deal to vent the explosive gas. They had to be careful about doing that to make sure it was safe. And they're drilling those holes into the places where the four missing miners would likely be, where they would have tried to go. And they're hoping they're going to be able to get to them and save their lives. The miners have enough food and water to last for 96 hours. 96 hours. You know, the families in dealing with this, they know and certainly are well aware of the Sago disaster, and they know that it's always that possibility. But just because you know in your mind, oh, this is a dangerous job because there are these things that could happen, it's just not any easier. It doesn't get any easier. So one of the four guys missing is believed to be running the longwall miner deep, they say, in the mine. The others are in another section deep in the mine, and let's hope that a little bit of luck in these prayers carry some of these guys safely out, and that would be certainly a good news. The other story here is, what about all the safety concerns? And mines get slapped with safety violations, and, you know, they're now especially, they're pretty strict on hammering down big time when there are safety inspections and whatnot. But they had these amazing piles of citations, 57 infractions just last month for violations that included, get this, repeatedly failing to develop and follow a ventilation plan. And that's a problem when you look at what happened. If you look at what Massey's had to do in the past, the company was fighting most of the fines or simply refusing to pay them. They agreed to pay $4.2 million in criminal and civil fines last year. They admitted to willfully violating mandatory safety standards that led to the deaths of two miners. The fine was the largest penalty in the history at the time of the coal industry, and now this. This is the sixth biggest mining company by production. Massey Energy, like I said, they took in $24 million in net income in the fourth quarter of 2009. So not, and you know, these other two, the two that suffocated before, they were looking for a way to escape. They were looking for ventilation. So this is the problem that continues, you know, to be, and here it is with this mine. And you'd have to think they're saying the top priority is the safety of the miners and their families, and they're trying to do what they can, but I'm not buying what the CEO, Don Blankenship, is selling. The top priority is to make money, and somebody needs to lean on them to do at least what's necessary to hopefully save more lives in the future or shut them down. They're not going to shut them down. They're just going to be more fines and, tough times for the people of this West Virginia area, as you know, there's going to be a lot of funerals and there are a lot of heavy hearts certainly in that area. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends. We got a bunch of them. Hang with us.
The healing revolution is here, naturally. Announcing King Bio Natural Medicines, over 200 powerful physician-tested homeopathic formulas for mind, body, and pets. Get fast relief this allergy season with King Bio's Allergy and Hay Fever Reliever. When you order online today, you'll receive a free guide booklet to natural medicine. Supplies limited, so order at kingbio.com. That's kingbio.com. KingBio.com, your natural pharmaceutical company.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237. Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Are you prepared or are you hardcore prepared? Get hardcore equipped at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested with Canadian and U.S. forces, so we know it's tough. What kind of gear? Our own brands. Arctic Warrior, Homeland Defender, Sandbox Avenger, Urban Peacekeeper. More than 30,000 products and 90% of it made in Canada and the U.S. See it all at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. Get 72-hour survival kits, Ultima boots, HW1 gloves, tactical link slings, EMA tactical weapon equipment, everything you need to be hardcore prepared. Deal with TacTownGear.com personnel with more than 25 years' experience in military and law enforcement. Call now, 418-844-9111. That's 418-844-9111. Or go to TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Solutions for your area of operation.
I like to see you right across the floor. I like to do it to you, collarbone. I like to reggae, but you dance bad for me. I like to make my food. You can make me sing. Oh, yeah, hombre, woman. What is wrong with me? Oh, yeah, hombre, woman.
Odds and ends here on ATN, and that includes, hey, what are you going to do with your tax return? You know what most people say? That, only a few of them are actually going to indulge in something, you know, frivolous, buy something, take a vacation somewhere. 84%, there was a poll that I read, 84% of Americans getting refunds want to pay down debt, save, or invest and use it for something in the future. That's what the plan is. Only 7% are going to go on a wild shopping spree or take a couple days off and go to an exotic locale. It used to be that that's what you did. The survey is a Princeton survey research group, and they're gauging Americans' feelings about the looming tax deadline and whether or not they're prepared to pay the tax man, and if they get a refund, what are they going to do with it? And it just shows you where we are with so many people unemployed or underemployed or working a million jobs or whatever. Most of the money is going toward necessities, paying debt down, like they say, or using it to survive and thrive for food, for, you know, whatever. And that day is so awful, tax day. I'm already done. I don't know how many of you are done. Matt, you're already done too, right? You're way done.
I am way done.
Yeah, that's the key. Get it out of the way. Once you get everything, just get it done.
Yeah, it's easier. Then you're not fretting at the end of the
yeah,
tax
the fretting
season.
Thing, the procrastination. I mean, I think everybody has a little bit of the procrastination gene in them. You just
right.
have days where you know, you make lists, and even if you're a doer person, you just say, ugh, I can't do all this crap I have to do today. I'm just chilling. I'm just taking a break. But you can't, that's what happens with taxes. I think people go crazy. They put it off. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. And they fret so much over it, even if they're getting money back, that they wait till the last second.
Right. I mean, and some of it can be daunting, too. Like when you know, if you got like a house, then you got to figure that in. And it's all these sorts of different taxes.
Forms.
Yes.
Different jobs, 1099s. A lot of people,
yes.
1099s. You
people
know, that happens
school,
with me.
You got that. Yep. You got to factor in. It can be pretty daunting.
It can be. That's true. That's why you see those, you know, and who capitalizes on that? H&R Block. They charge you a fortune, and you probably could have done them yourselves, but they show you people, you know, tearing their hair out, hysterical, freaking out about it. And we, you know, last week we just had a tax person on who said that people come in, and I've heard this, I've never heard somebody say they don't have clients up until midnight. I mean, they have people that walk in the doors of their places, or somebody calls them, hey, a friend recommended you, can you do my taxes? Literally at the last second. I mean, they're working around the clock. It's crazy. that's the thing to do. Make your work, make it so, it's like the people that I used to think that would rent stuff at the beach. You know, they'd rent the umbrellas or the bicycles, and they were making a fortune. I knew it. And they would have beach season, like May to September, and then they were off, like, athletes in certain sports. So they'd be off for all those months. So the key would be become the king or queen of taxes and have so much business you just are humping it between January and tax day. And then you're done. You're off. I know, just a thought. I'm not putting my shingle out. Don't come to me with your taxes. I hate it. I do. I hate the whole tax thing. And I'm totally, our tax situation is ridiculous. I think so many people are raked over the coals and overtaxed. They don't need to be taxed. And they're, you know, they're just trying to piece things together. I'm for the fair flat tax or any other way, but it's not going to happen. The Vatican says it's not going to happen either. They're sick of what they're calling hate attacks. The Vatican is defending the Pope again, claiming accusations that he helped cover up the actions of pedophile priests are part of an anti-Catholic hate campaign targeting the Pope for his opposition to abortion and really same-sex marriage, and that's what it's all about. They do a radio broadcast from the Vatican, and they had some cardinals that were explaining the motives for the attacks on the Pope and the Vatican, saying that, look, the Pope defends life and family, and that's what the deal is, and that's why he's getting all this heat. But deny all you want, and here's the deal. With the sex abuse allegations and all of the accusations of cover-ups by the bishops and the Vatican folks, I mean, it's across Europe, it's all over the United States. I mean, everybody knows about it by this point. Benedict himself has been massively criticized for not halting what was happening with the priests who were abusing mostly boys but also girls when he was a cardinal. And earlier, while he was the Archbishop of Munich in Germany. In Germany, about 2,700 people called the church's sexual abuse hotline in the first 3 days it was operating. What does that tell you? Oh. And the problem is they buried their heads in the sand. They just should have gotten rid of, they should not have protected the priest who they had heavy evidence on. It makes absolutely no sense. All right, here's a follow-up in odds and ends to something that we talked about last week, or actually the beginning of this week. The man that was threatening the Washington senator, Senator Patty Murray, was the target of a bunch of nasty calls, menacing calls, in fact, threatening calls over the health care vote. And federal prosecutors charged a guy, Charles Allen Wilson, with making those calls to the senator's office, threatening to kill her because of her support for the health care bill. FBI agents say they arrested him after getting telephone records and calling him to confirm that his voice matched the one left on a voicemail in the senator's office. They started the investigation a couple of weeks ago after the bill was passed when a staff member notified the FBI that a man who kept calling them for months was leaving messages after hours had begun to make really overt threats to a killer. You know, that's just not the way to go, folks. A lot of people upset, and for good reason, with what happened and how it's going to shake out and affect everyone. I get that. But what are you thinking in doing this? This guy apparently was not thinking, and he had a handgun registered to him, and he did have a valid concealed weapons permit, but that's what scared the FBI, they say, even more. But his, there's no question, the things that he was saying, you know, he was saying, I hope you realize there's a target on your back. There are many people out there who want you dead. I'll donate the lead and, you know, all kinds of things. And so that he put himself in that position. And why, oh, why would you do that? I don't get it, because you end up having to defend yourself in court and people write you off as a nutball. And ultimately you get 2 seconds of a news story and nothing changes. That's the thing. There is going to be change in California, and it's a question of who's going to be governor in that governor's race. Boy, it's getting interesting. The amount of money that you have to spend to be in office. Meg Whitman is running for that position, and she had to put $20 million more in that race. She's the former eBay CEO, and her personal fortune is somewhere, I don't know, $59 million, something like this. This is supposed to be one of the most expensive governor's races in California history. You have the insurance commissioner, Steve Posnier, who's also running, and apparently she's got a pretty big lead so far at this point, but they're still a ways off from election day, and she's spending unbelievable money to fund, you know, slogans and attack ads, I guess. And, you know, we'll see who ends up in that position. It's just so much fun with Arnold there, though, wasn't it? For the comedians, it was easy to either bag on him or have him on shows or whatever. And that will change the face of the landscape, I think, in California. So many problems there. Now they're talking about 3-day work weeks because of the fact that, you know, they simply are running out of dough. They don't have enough money, and you got to do something. So how do you keep the state running and not completely let everybody go? Well, what they're saying is for the state employees, just do 3 days a week. That's it. That's all we can afford. But how much is that cutting out of the pay, and how much is that cutting out of people's individual pay is the thing, right? All right, hang with us next. Some interesting things coming up, including if you're unemployed, you're an exec, and you're looking to help people, I mean really help people, it could be of good service to you in moving forward in getting another job, but also for some nonprofits as well. Plus, we're going to talk about net neutrality and the internet, all coming up around the bend here on ATN.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage. Fact. Cirrhosis of the liver is the 8th leading cause of death among Americans. Fact. Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver. Fact. 1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease. Fact. Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully prepared? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At PatriotFood.com, we offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and six varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb.
When it comes to the internet, that's why all of this brouhaha over the regulations. A federal court threw the future of internet regs and probably U.S. broadband expansion plans into that serious question mark land that I hate so much. And this is because they came up with a decision that went against the FCC. In a nutshell, not to belabor you with the gory details of it, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia ruled that the FCC lacks authority to require broadband providers to give equal treatment, ready, equal treatment to all internet traffic flowing over their networks. So for guys like Comcast, for that corporation, which is the biggest cable company, don't get me started on Comcast. Oh. Anyway, it's a huge win for them. They were challenging the FCC's, you know, authority or right to impose network neutrality on broadband providers. But what does it all mean to you and me and the future of the internet? And that is the key thing that we want to talk about here. And who better to have on than our pal Scott Fox? You know, I can't believe we could get him on such short notice. He's the author of E. Rich's 2.0 Next Generation Online Marketing Strategies. We always love to pick his brain. when it comes to business or anything about the internet, but I was sure that he would probably have a seat at Dancing with the Stars, or he'd be off in Beverly Hills somewhere. We were lucky enough to get him on the show. Hey, Scott, how are you?
I can't. You're right. I had to swap my Dancing with the Stars tickets to be here.
Well, we're so glad you did that. You didn't really miss anything, so don't worry about it. This is a big deal. You and I have talked about net neutrality lately a couple of the times that you've been on with us. But let's, for everybody listening that says, who cares? What does it mean? What are you talking about? Why is this so important to the little guy?
Well, I think that internet access is rapidly becoming something that a lot of folks can't live without. And even if you're not online every day like somebody like me is, you're seeing more and more email, you know, you're trading pictures of your grandkids, you're doing some shopping, whatever it is. And what net neutrality is a dispute over what gets priority on the internet. And I think that where we are today, I wasn't alive 100 years ago, but I'm thinking back to like when electricity arrived. You know, the internet is increasingly like a utility. And if you found out that somebody was going to regulate how much electricity you got into your house and when you could prioritize your TV versus your microwave oven or your lamps, that might upset you. And I think that we're rapidly reaching a day when internet access is becoming almost as important as that electric utility.
Oh, yeah. You know, in all fields, but in the field of broadcasting, I give you a great example. People are doing webcasting now. I mean, there's internet radio shows, and I still think the old-fashioned way, or I'll call it terrestrial radio, will always be big. But what you can add to it with the internet and with the web shows and ultimately where we're headed with all of this, and all, I think, in all fields across the board, it will affect daily life. And you think of all the entrepreneurs out there, and I would have to think young entrepreneurs, people, not necessarily young, but people just coming up with fabulous ideas, and they don't like to see this because, you know, this kind of clips your wings, I think, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, we can even tie it into the other big tech story of the week, which is the release of the Apple iPad.
Ooh.
The Apple iPad isn't much without its Wi-Fi connectivity and, you know, that broadband connection. And the jobs being created and the excitement around that product affects the economy, and the broadband world that we're all moving into, like it or not, is really a cornerstone of job growth in America these days.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No kidding. Hey, you've got something going on. I want to talk about it. You sent me a note about this, that you're doing another kind of charity thing. Basically, you explained to me, and I'll let you tell the story, but you're handing out scholarships, not just to, like, Tori Spelling, but to people who really need it for your I'm sure you're friends with her, but you're handing out these scholarships to, you know, your Click Millionaires private coaching deal, and it's for people who are unemployed. So this is good. This ties into what I was talking about previous. You know, what do you do with the high numbers of unemployed people? What do? They're pounding the pavement looking for things, clever ways to come up with jobs, or they're entrepreneurs and they're frustrated. So explain that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm with you as usual on all that, and I think that one of the big challenges these days is for folks to adapt. And if you are unemployed these days, I recommend retraining for the internet. And clickmillionaires.com is my private coaching community, as you mentioned, based on my books and stuff. And we've got members there from all over the world, and there's enough people there now working on building their own businesses and so forth that I wanted to reinvest some of our success. And so we're offering scholarships to folks who are unemployed, wondering what is next. And if they come to scottfox.com, there's a blog post about that. And they can basically apply just by leaving a comment on my blog saying, hey, I'm unemployed and I would like to learn more about the internet, and I want to let a half dozen of those folks in over the next couple of weeks to do what we can anyway to help prepare people for the broadband future that we were just talking about.
Yeah, Scott, what if somebody, you know, there still are dinosaurs out there. What if you absolutely don't have a web page, don't know how to navigate on the internet? I mean, are you just DOA when you're looking for a job anymore?
Well, it depends on the job, right? As you mentioned a minute ago about radio, terrestrial radio is always going to be here, but digital, all the digital stuff is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you're happy working in a non-tech field, and almost everything is tech-affected these days, then that's fine. But, you know, the opportunities, the growth opportunities, if you want to make big money or if you want to have the opportunity to control your own schedule and be more independent, you're probably going to be more entrepreneurial or something involved in technology. It's where the sexy thing, you know, we all wanted to maybe, I don't know, be rock stars a couple of decades ago, and these days, the tech world is where it's at.
Boy, isn't that the truth? It is. You know, the old jokes about, oh, that guy's a geek, a tech, or whatever, that doesn't apply anymore. I mean, not at all. The more you know, the better.
That's right. It's Revenge of the Nerds.
It is Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah. There's no question about that. Well, we'll see what happens now, because this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, we're talking about, I mentioned the court, when this U.S. court ruling against it. So this certainly isn't the end of the story, but it is the appeals court for the District of Columbia. And as I said, this is, you know, hey, if you're Comcast, you're loving this, because now they have even more chips in the game. I mean, what don't they own anymore? It's crazy. Comcast is gotten so big, but hey, good for them for looking down the road and realizing what they needed to do to just gobble it all up, and now it'll be up to them, basically. When we're talking about broadband, they'll be able to, you know, they'll be able to decide basically about what's flowing over their networks anyway, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, at least we'll see what happens in the appeal. But, you know, you can understand their point of view. They're business people, and they invested a lot to build these networks, and so they kind of want to control what traffic runs on them. It's hard not to sympathize with that. But then us average consumers say, well, I got to get to Amazon to, you know, to buy that new book for my school project or whatever, and why can't I get on, you know? And those two tensions, that's the tension that the courts are wrestling with here, and I think both sides have some arguments. But without neutrality, it's going to be harder and harder for the average person to really take advantage of them, that because you're just not sure what the government is going to do or what these corporations might do without some government intervention. And it's a tough balance. It's a tough balance.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so everybody, the people that are listening that are unemployed, they can go to your website, they can apply, and you'll pick some people for those scholarships that can be part of the Click Millionaires.
Yeah, that'd be great. Over at ScottFox.com. I'd love to meet anybody that needs a boost. We're doing what we can. And thanks for having me on. And net neutrality is an interesting issue. I'm sure we'll talk about it again as it advances.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, when you see Tori Spelling, tell her I said hi. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. I'm just kidding. Thanks, Scott. He's so funny. He's a great guy. And, you know, it's interesting. The FCC chairman is saying that, you know, you look at these rules, and he's right. You need it. He's saying rules are needed to prevent phone and cable companies from using their control over that internet access that Scott and I were just talking about to favor some online content and some of the services over others. And that's, you know, I can give you an example. I was reading about this today. And this actually centers on this. It happened in 2007. And what happened was there was an online file sharing service. It was called BitTorrent, and it allowed users to swap big files like movies over the internet. But now that's going to, trust me, there's going to be ramifications here. So public interest groups are up in arms because of this ruling. It's much broader than just that one little BitTorrent situation. And what it does is it undercuts the FCC's ability to prevent broadband providers like Comcast from being the gatekeepers for what is and isn't going to be out there for online services. You know, that potentially includes internet phone programs and even the software that runs in a web browser. So the repercussions of this are gigantic. No question about it. And anybody, I mean, the serious implications for massive national broadband plans, definitely, that the FCC was talking about. And everybody was breathing a big, I know I was, breathing a big sigh of relief thinking, oh, finally, open internet, baby. Keep it open. Keep it open. The benefits of broadband for everybody, much better. And now, you know, you have to think about this. What about the service in some of the rural areas? Some of you might be listening to me there, or some of the poor rural areas where you do need it. In almost every walk of life, it's hard to get away from the internet and how you use the internet and what you need the internet for. So, I mean, this is a big win for Comcast, and this is brutal for the rest of us, certainly. And they took a nick out of the FCC, and I think they put an axe in some of our backs, to be certain. Coming up on the flip side, the big bad blunder of the day. You won't want to miss this. Hang with us, everybody, here on America Tonight.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
So who is the NBA All-Star forward who broke a bone in his face? I don't know that anyone's going to be able to nail down that question. We'll tell you coming up on America Tonight. Hey, hey, Kate, swinging for the fences. Oh, am I glad baseball is back. We're going to talk some baseball, too, in sports shorts. Also, how about this? The court ruling against the FCC on net neutrality. What does it all mean? Bad timing, probably, for our technical maestro, Matt Johnson, as he was getting ready to put up his blog. I know. They're booing in Minneapolis. Not good. And we gave them so much Red Bull before him. All right, without further ado, he's in our green room, our virtual green room. We're going to usher him in. What do you do when you're an executive? And, you know, when you're an executive for a big company, a medium-sized company, you're crazed. You're thinking of a million things. You're running around all over the place. You're responsible for XYZ employees. What if all of a sudden you're out of a job? Then what do you do with yourself? How about, volunteering and helping other people? So anyway, there's a great organization that I found out about through a couple of friends the last couple of weeks, and it's called Executives in Action. And the executive director for EIA, Jeremy Gregg, joins us now here on ATN. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm great, Kate. Thanks so much for inviting me on.
First of all, that's a big title. What does it mean? What is Executives in Action?
Well, in brief, what Executives in Action is, it's a community of executives who, during their time of transition, have decided to dedicate themselves to helping local nonprofits while also helping themselves. These are people who have an average of 15 to 20 years of management experience out in the business sector. Many of them have volunteered, but quite a few have never volunteered a day in their life. And what they're doing through Executives in Action is they are volunteering not in the very important work of the mission of these nonprofits. So they're not putting soup in soup bowls, tutoring kids. They're coming in as a business executive, using the skills they've amassed over the past 20 years to improve the businesses of the nonprofits where they're working. So, for example, CFOs are coming in, helping nonprofits revise their financials. Marketing officers are coming in, helping nonprofits come up with better ways to raise money. So they're coming in as a business leader, using their skills a couple days a week to help a nonprofit.
Which I would imagine has to really be something the nonprofits need, because a lot of times, and I know because I've helped people in different areas, and I've watched organizations crumble, or they have a great heart, Jeremy. They have the right mission and all that sort of thing, but they have no business acumen, and they just can't keep it together, or they're not getting the dollars to where they need it. And so I would imagine you match up somebody with the kind of business brain, the right kind of business brain, with some of these nonprofits, and they have to see things take off. Is that what you're seeing happen?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's exactly what we were responding to in 2008 when we first came up with the idea. Actually, it was Chris and Ashley Kleiner, our founders. And what they looked at was they saw a world in which there really were two pressing problems. On one hand, we had unemployment, which was rising. In October of 2008, when they first met with me to talk about the idea, you know, as you probably recall, we were right in the middle of really realizing where the economy was going. The election was in full swing, and we saw unemployment skyrocketing. And we especially saw it skyrocketing among people that we all knew that had very successful careers, and for no fault of their own, their company downsized and they were laid off. So on one side, we saw this problem of incredible unemployment. On the other side, we saw an incredible number of great nonprofits, which, just like you're saying, are very good at doing the very basic services that they're chartered to do, feeding the hungry, taking care of children, healing the sick. But in difficult times, they are very strapped for cash, and they do not have the ability to manage the organizations, to plan for the next step of the organization, to focus on raising money to sustain the organization. So we saw these two problems, unemployment on one side and decreasing funds to nonprofits on the other. And we thought, there must be a way to make these two problems a solution for each other. And that's how we got to Executives in Action.
So how do you find the nonprofits? How do you pick through, or how do they find you? How does that work?
Well, we're based in North Texas, where there's about 9,000 nonprofits just in the North Texas area. And there are about 1.5 million nonprofits across the country. One of the things people don't realize is that the nonprofit sector occupies an enormous percentage of the community and the economy. The estimates are that between 8 and 10% of the economy actually flows through the nonprofit sector. Now, that includes places like hospitals and universities, but it also includes a lot of places like the neighborhood soup kitchen, Boys and Girls Clubs, and other organizations. So in terms of the organizations that are out there, there are an extraordinary number of great organizations that we reached out to. We actually were started through another great organization called the Center for Nonprofit Management here in Dallas. We sent out one email to the 450 member organizations of the Center for Nonprofit Management saying, would you like to have access to a out-of-work executive to help you build your capacity? Within 48 hours, 120 of those 450 nonprofits asked for support. So it's really not been a problem at all finding the nonprofits that needed the help. The larger issue in the beginning was finding the executives. We wanted to focus, for a number of reasons, on people who were very qualified business leaders who had the skill set necessary to really impact a nonprofit. And in the beginning, there was some hesitation on their part. You know, if you've been very successful in your career, you know, you've been making plenty of money for 30 years, you are at the top of your game, suddenly you're laid off for the economy. In some ways, the last thing you think about is giving your work away for free. These are people who are, again, top of their game, business leaders, highly skilled folks. And for them, the idea of volunteering comes almost out of the blue. At the same time, volunteering is usually related to what we all know about volunteering, where it's the very basic services of serving as a tutor for a child, which is a wonderful wonderful thing for someone to do, but doesn't really capitalize on the skills of somebody who's been the CEO of a very large company, or someone who's been a controller for a Fortune 500 company. If that person can come in, and instead of helping stuff envelopes, if instead they can say, you know, I am actually really good at strategy, what if I help you do that? So when we are able to help those executives say, what is the skill that you want to be hired for in your next job, and how can we use that skill to help a nonprofit, it comes to them as a revelation. And once we overcome that initial hesitation, what I'll tell you is that it's astounding what happens in the lives of these people. We've placed about 130 people to work just in the North Texas area in the last year. Of those 130 people, several dozen have found jobs, and the research that the exit surveys we've had have shown that they have said the number one reason they got their next job was their work through Executives in Action. And the reason for that is pretty simple. It wasn't that we were out there drumming the street trying to find jobs for them. It's that they had the very best answer to the question of what have you been doing since you lost your job. And instead of saying, I've been going to networking meetings, I'm working on my LinkedIn profile and all those things, which is important to go and do,
right,
they've been able to say, I've been working at the local domestic violence shelter, and I've been helping them revise their financials so that they can have increased profitability over the coming years. And it's a great way for these people to demonstrate their character and their integrity as well as their skill set during their job search.
Mm. Would you recommend that to other people? I mean, people are listening to us in Connecticut and in Illinois and Florida and all over the United States.
Oh, absolutely.
Would you recommend that to people listening, saying,
it's one of these things that I think, you know, the role that Executives in Action plays is we're a very important third party helping to match people with talents, coming up with their core competencies and matching them. But there's no reason that this can't be done in every city across the country without Executives in Action. We're happy to expand and to help. But what we're facing now is when nearly 10% of our country wants to work and can't find a job, well, that's 10% of our country that can roll up their sleeves and help a local nonprofit. Now, some of those people might have the skills necessary to help with the kids, to help distribute the food,
sure,
to help maybe run the museum. But there are some who have a real business acumen, who have the ability to help a nonprofit. So I would encourage people who are unemployed or people who are retired or even people who are still working but are looking for something more to do with their skills is think about what you really are good at. Don't just think about giving back very generically and saying, well, I guess I'll adopt a family in the holiday season. Or I guess I'll show up once a month and play basketball with some kids. That's wonderful to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if your real talents are in the business sector and where you're really great at building a business, well, nonprofits need that. Nonprofits are businesses. Nonprofits definitely have to show a margin at the end of the year, no margin, no mission.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that they really need that sophisticated business acumen, and that's the last thing they can afford. So I would encourage anyone who is looking, especially those who are unemployed, this is a great way for you to use your skills, stay fresh, while also making a huge contribution that adds a lot of value to your life.
Yeah, we're out of time, but how many did you say nonprofits across the country?
There are over 1.4 million nonprofits across the country, all of which need our help today. And Executives in Action wants to find a way to help as many as we can.
Wow, no kidding. So check it out, folks. If you're listening, go to executivesinaction.org. I think Jeremy makes a great point. It also looks better on your resume. He's right. And what a difference maker you could be for some of these charities who would really need your help. Jeremy, thank you. Hang with us, everybody. Coming up on the flip side, we're talking about net neutrality.